Fakeologist Audio, a periodic audio where I explore the world of media fakery. You can find my blog at fakeologist.com, where you'll find all the links to the live stream and audio archive. You will also find links to my sublogs, forums, email, PayPal, Twitter, and YouTube. We now use Discord for all our interactive audio and text. To join in on any live conversation, go to our main page and connect to the Discord server on the right, or visit bit.ly/fakechat. Now, here's your host, the Fakeologist, Avarado. Well, hello everybody. It is Thursday, April 26, 2018. We're here on Fakeologist at 55. We normally show up Wednesdays, but Faye couldn't make it this week, and I couldn't make it either, coincidentally. So we decided to push it to Thursday, and today we're going to be joined by a fill-in host, which I am happy to have from time to time. Anyone else who wants to join in, just leave me a note and you can help cover the Fakeologist 55. And today I am joined by Velicet, so we should get right at it. Velicet, how are you?
Good evening, or good morning if you're in Australia like I am.
Yeah, well, thanks.
I'm doing okay.
Oh, very well. Thanks for filling in. I appreciate it. And
no, sorry to get off to a bit of a late start. I was a bit distracted, and then I had a whole bunch of audio issues trying to get this working. So I finally moved to mobile, which seems to be working a bit better than PC. So
yeah, well, you're a little
finally here.
You're a little choppy, but you did make it. I was going to cancel today, but that's fine. Better late than never. And as most people know, most people listen to their audio on their own time anyway. But for those that do show up and hang around at this time of the day, that's fantastic. You can listen live at fakeologist.com/radio2. This is our main channel for now. One of these days I'm going to rejig them back to 1 and 2. But for now, we're going to be on Radio 2. We're live. We're streaming. You can stream us in your car if you're live driving to work or just driving around. Or most likely, you're just listening to the podcast. So I'm going to get right into it. This has been a really big week for me because Toronto had its biggest, I would say, PSYOP hoax in a long time. I don't know if we've really had one in Toronto that since I've been discovering and deconstructing media hoaxes since 2012. I just can't think of one right off the top that is of this magnitude. So I'm very grateful for the PSYOP creators to come to town, as it were. And there is just about no doubt in my mind this is just another B or C level PSYOP hoax. And I've got lots of posts. I've put all my posts and titled them Toronto Van Sidewalk Hoax. That's the catchiest name I could come up with, and it's not that great, but really there hasn't been any other catchy phraseology given to us by the media, so I've got this cumbersome mouthful. I guess you could abbreviate down to TVSH, but overall I decided just to title it this. Velicet, have you listened at all to some of the coverage and the commentary on Fakeologist about this?
Yeah, let me just say, like, with the title, Sidewalk Hoax, it sounds like a bystander kind of thing. It doesn't really sound like anything you want to, you know, bother reading about, does it? It's just like, you know, Sidewalk Hoax, very casual. But, I became familiar with it. I forget who posted the first link, but, shortly after, Fakeologist became aware of it that morning, I looked at some of the videos just out of interest because I knew I'd have to do a bit of brushing up for 55 this week. But, I try not to go too much into detail. So, I mean, I've been on a bit of a kick, with Dave J's advice, trying not to spiritually murder myself.
So good for you.
For me, it was just maybe I'll look and just look at some of the surface detail and just go, yeah, okay, I know sort of what's going on with this event, but I didn't want to get too bogged down in the negative thoughts. But, yeah, so how close is that to you? And did you get to go have a look? Have you been down that street since it happened?
No, absolutely not. I take the major highway that's just south of this area, And I don't have any time in my day to get off and investigate. And I'm content with just looking at the lack of media. And to be honest, the only reason, this is a really weak one. It's not that interesting, not well developed character-wise at all. It's missing so many components, key components. And quite frankly, I'm only interested in it because it just has the word Toronto in it. And I always feel more compelled when it's something closer to home. That's the only reason. It's not a good one. The evidence is horrible. There's no way you could reconcile the lack of evidence with the official story. It's not possible. And I've even just said to people, look at the van. Here's a picture of a van that hit a deer that looks realistic. And I can't say for sure it's realistic, and here's the picture that the authorities are showing us in Toronto that says it mowed down 26 or 25 or whatever number they throw out for the day. And if that looks like, if the van they give you looks like it hit people and hit trees and bus shelters, then I can't do anything for you. I can't explain this to you, and I'm just going to stop there. But to me, there's nothing. I can't go any farther if this is the best evidence they give you, because there is just no way this is the van that could have done the dirty deed as it was told in the official narrative. So for me, the investigation ends there.
I think because of your background, you can really very easily focus on the damage to vehicles, because it's something you're so familiar with, and we've seen it with the recent hockey hoax thing you've been covering. But, I mean, I guess that's where you focus and you can look at the pictures, and for you it just doesn't ring true. And we all have that for ourselves. For me, I was watching the video that was taken of the guy pulling a gun and that cop reacting and that. And I was sort of, for me, it's more that little interplay that went on. And I was watching that and thinking, like, this cop's dancing around in the video, like doing all this weird footwork and moving backwards and forwards. I thought, well, what protocol is that he's following? And then he just ducks in the car to turn off the siren, right, while the guy is supposedly pointing a gun at him. And I don't know if it turned out to be a real gun, did it? I haven't checked up on how the story's unfolding.
No, there's been no story development on whatever that was in his hand. But it's you know, we get all the piss poor psyops up here. I don't know how the mechanics of the budgeting works, but no, this was so not convincing at all. And again, I only gave it lots of attention because it was local. But anyway, why don't we do, let's keep to the format if we can. Do you have enough material, or do you want to just keep freestyling it tonight? Because otherwise I'm going to play the 55 and we're just going to keep switching up.
No, if you want to keep freestyling, I haven't got a specific list of topics I wanted to stick to.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll play it anyway. 55! All right. Did you want to bring up something at all? Or did you want to just look at the fakeologist.com blog and maybe just comment on some of them? Mainly the.
No, if you want to go through the blog, which page?
I always start. Personally go just to fakeologist.com. Which is the main blog. And just to let people know, there are many links at the top. You can come to the blog anytime. And we've got lots of links on the right as well. These are things that are more static on the right and at the top. The content that is changing every day is on the left side, for people not familiar with blog technology. And really, most of my posts have been the Toronto Van Sidewalk hoax. And let me just read the latest post I put today.
And, yeah, we keep talking about this because, I mean, like you say, it's close. It's close to you, and
it's close to me, but it may not be
some of the new stuff.
Yeah. Okay. That's fine. Well, anything you want to bring up as well, because the point is, you know, local is the only thing that really interests people. I never looked into the Sydney hoax as much because it was just too far away to be interesting to me. I didn't have any personal reference points, and I can see how. These are really made for the local media, but they go international.
Yeah, when you say that, and I think of the Sydney hoax, to me, that one, even in my mind, it's harder to question, like, and I have this sort of affinity for it, because I was completely asleep at the time that the Link Cafe thing happened, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, like, even looking back through hoaxes of the past, it's definitely the local one that seems to, you know, it's sort of, it has a, you can't really put your finger on it, but there's sort of an emotional tug there, you know?
Well, I had somebody email me, and I tell people, don't email me if you've got some relevant information, because that just means I have to repost it. You can easily join the blog, and I'll authorize you, and make a post, make a comment. I'd rather you make your information public, to be honest with you, because I had someone say, oh, I was at that intersection where the Toronto van sidewalk hoax occurred, and it looked pretty real to me, and I just said, okay, what part of it is real to you? Beside the fact that, yeah, you were at the intersection, well, thousands of people go through that intersection. It's a busy street. It is the busiest street in that area. It is the main street. It's the world's longest highway in the world. It's Highway 11, of course, and it runs almost 2,000 kilometers, and it is the spine of Toronto. Now, that section is a northern area of the city, and it is sort of a city center in and of itself for the north part of the city. We have a very sprawling metropolis here of approximately 6 to 11 million people. So it is the spine of the city. So just because you were right at that intersection and around the time, it doesn't really make it any more real to me. So really give your evidence. And again, there's nothing presented, I think, that showed anything close to a real situation. It looked like actually a pretty piss poor drill. But there was one interesting thing I wanted to point out, and then I put down here, there is very little truth in any of these fictional stories, but I believe this part, and I'm going to quote. An employee answering the door at the Korean consulate in Toronto said they weren't confirming whether any Korean nationals were dead or injured in the van attack, leaving that up to either Canadian or Korean officials. But South Korean news agency Yonhap cited a government agency as saying two Korean nationals were among those killed Monday. And what I'm trying to contrast here is the only true statement that you can glean from this is the Korean consulate officials in Toronto were probably smart to say they're not going to confirm anything, because they can't confirm anything because the Koreans that are portrayed as the victims are most likely simulated characters. They're probably not real people. But again, this is how the media works. They always quote another media outlet, and that particular media outlet is citing a government agency. What is the government agency? These are generalities, and they can't be confirmed, and this is how they create the lies. The lies are completely impossible to follow up on, and that's exactly how they do the stories. The stories are just quoting vagaries. This is not real reporting. Yeah. And that,
if I can just go back to what you were saying before, if someone was to email you just with some vague thing about, yeah, it seems real, like, I mean, that would seem like a complete waste of time to me. And maybe you're tiptoeing around it, but I think your message is people don't bother emailing Ab with useless information if they're not willing to actually discuss something. And like you said, they could easily post it themselves on the blog and be involved with it if they've really got something. But specifically that quote you're pointing out and the generality there about a Korean news agency or whatever, citing a government agency, like, wow, I think sometimes we're not even thinking. Like, you've got to remind yourself of this matrix you're in where the news media just spins you a load of nonsense and no one's checking. Like, it can be quite shocking when you actually think about it and go, yeah, like, what does that mean? That doesn't mean anything, you know? Most people just accept that from the TV. It's, it's pretty weird. It's like, who is checking that?
There is no, and as A.A. Morris pointed out in his fantastic podcast, which I'm way behind on, because he's already up to, I think, 55, coincidentally. I'm just falling behind by the minute with that guy. He's so prodigious, so prolific, rather. And he's just saying there never was investigative reporting. There are no investigative reporters because, and they definitely don't exist today because there's no money in the media anymore. And they're not going to investigate themselves if they are complete propaganda outlets now. They're not going to expose their own propaganda. That would be crazy. That's like shooting yourself in the foot. It's not going to happen. There are no investigative reporters. We are the new investigative reporters in the sense that all we're doing is exposing the media for the fraud that it is now. And I'm not going to waste 1 second to go to Yonge Street and start poking around. I can just take their imagery that they present and just pick it to pieces. they're doing all the work for me. I just look at it and say, this is clearly staged. There is no evidence of skid marks that make any sense. There's no evidence of damage. And if this is what you're going to present as real, this is what I'm going to shoot full of holes. And that's what I've done.
Yeah, I was recently, you've mentioned before the No Agenda show, and I wasn't really familiar with that.
But, yeah.
I listened to a few episodes of it recently, and I've got to say, like, it took me a while to sort of get into how their structure works and how they do the show. But along the same lines, just their satire on pointing out this drivel that comes out of the news media, playing all these clips back to you, where out of context, you're just listening to the audio going, yeah, wait a minute, that's something that I could have easily, anyone could hear on the news and think sounds legitimate. But when you actually sit there and sort of just listen to them satirize and talk about it, you realize that it doesn't contain anything. It's just this thin veil of a story. And you have no way of knowing for yourself.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to skip around. I'm going to go to my next segment here. Now, every now and then, when I hear things and read things, I try and blog them as soon as possible. Now, the blog is mainly my own diary because there's so much material coming in at such a rapid rate. I just like to document it before I forget it. And as the older you get, the more you have to write things down, because it is always, you lose so many brain cells every year. You really have to do that. So that is the main purpose. Now, there was someone or somebody wrote something or said something that sort of kicked off the whole war of terror to the West. And I don't know who it was, so I put a little plea out on the Fakeologist Discord server. And I said, if anyone can remember who or what said that they are going to bring the war on terrorism to the United States and all the Western countries, that really was well developed in Israel, then I wanted to know who said it and when they said it. Now, I think the closest I can get to my memory is what Faye gave to me, and that was Benjamin Netanyahu, who was born he was trained anyway in the United States, as I call him, the America's chief agent in the Middle East. I think it was him or someone around him, maybe that Ariel Sharon. By the way, is that guy dead? Because he's been in a coma for about 20 years. Maybe he did die eventually, but it might have been him that said that we are going to bring terrorism to the West because they just aren't registering what's going on with the phony terrorism, at least as I call it, in Israel. And I think this is the clip, or this is the person that said it, and that's Benjamin Netanyahu, I think is still the Prime Minister of Israel, and he wrote a book in the 90s about bringing terrorism to the West. And he even mentioned that in his book, I believe, I can't remember the name of it, and maybe I should post it, but he said that the crazy Muslims will bring down the Twin Towers, and he wrote that, of course, before 9/11, which means the whole thing was...
As with every other bit of information they put out.
Yeah, so it was probably scripted the whole time. Let me just play this, starting at about 5 minutes, and I put it on FakeTube.
Was in denial. Now, let me play devil's advocate with you. We've heard nut jobs, especially in Iran, for a very long time. What makes you say we should take this nut job at his word? Why is this guy different than what we have seen with religious fanatics that are really only interested in power and not interested in the apocalypse?
Well, I was getting this question in the 1990s, and I said that the West really doesn't understand militant Islam. So I wrote a book in 1995, and I said that if the West doesn't wake up to the suicidal nature of militant Islam, the next thing you'll see is the militant Islam is bringing down the World Trade Center. Other not ideologies don't do that, but militant Muslims do, and they are competing. They have two strains, the Sunni type, led by Al-Qaeda, who have done the World Trade Center, the Shia types, led by Iran, who want to top that by having nuclear weapons with which they can dominate the world, ultimately bring down America. Mm-hmm. We're merely the first target.
All right, that was from Glenn Beck, 2006 interview, and he's, of course, referring to his book from 1995. And then, yeah,
due to the structural integrity, because the fire was so intense. I mean, the lines are already all set up there, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So obviously this has been in the works a long time. And if anyone, it really annoys me when people say that Israel runs the U.S. Well, okay, Israeli-type politicians may have hijacked the United States infrastructure, but let's face it, the British and the Americans, they built Israel for the sole purpose of controlling the Middle East. So I don't think it's the tail wagging the dog. I think the United States and British power structure have been running the whole thing the whole long. But of course, excuse me, Netanyahu has been a very good and effective type a person in his role. And he actually has a pretty good radio voice too, very deep.
So what do you think is the point of putting it out there when we're sort of suspicious of the fact that it's real in the first place? What's he get by actually coming out?
Well, I really what I want to point out is I think they've been developing these psyops in Israel with the Palestinians since Israel was created. And now they're bringing it, and I just wanted someone to create I just wanted the reference point to when all this really started in earnest in the United States. All these psyops, these false flags, when they really started pounding us with them. And now we're really getting them in Canada, little old Canada, which is only the size of California in terms of population. So I just wanted to know, I just remember them saying they're going to bring it here. And honestly, I haven't heard in the media of too many of these events in Israel. We used to hear about them all the time with the Palestinians, but that whole area is very quiet, at least in the media. I don't know if it's in reality. But the point is that they've stepped it up so much in the West, it's really easy to see what he was talking about.
Yeah, so you were looking for sort of that kicking off point.
Yeah, that's what I was
looking for. For the West, that when all the sort of day-to-day news grind of us seeing this stuff on a regular basis started.
Yes, and I just wanted to hear who said it. I think it was, so it looks like it was Netanyahu, but there might have been another Israeli politician who probably was just quoting from his book maybe back in the day, but that's the part I wanted to get to.
I feel like it's even within my lifetime, I've sensed the sort of that sort of, I don't know, maybe it's part of growing up, or maybe there is something that there was sort of a, you know, that feeling of terror started to come about and build, you know?
Right. All right. Let me just.
Hard to say. 55!
All right. We can keep reading down the blog, or we can, anything you want to talk about?
Just let me keep going down. What's next up?
Well, I'm just looking at a post I got down here. When a van hits a living fleshy animal, or 26, that's my blog post where I got the picture of the car that allegedly hit a van. Now, again, we have to be suspicious of all media, and that includes anything on the internet, but I'm going to say that's probably a realistic picture of a deer hitting a van and smashing up the windshield. The interior shots, if you click through on the link, are particularly gruesome. So really, I was just trying to contrast what is said to be a van hitting an animal, which is a large fleshy object, and a van that supposedly hit 26 people, not one person. So you'd think there'd be just a little bit of blood or just a little more than what we saw here, because if you look inside that van that hit the deer, it is coated on the inside. It is disgusting.
Oh, yeah. That picture looks much more organic, so to speak.
Organic,
but, I mean,
right.
Whoever comes to set up these vans for all their little, world tour roadshow, they must have the same stunt contractor who does his same little pull the grill off routine and hit it with a golf club. It's always the same setup, isn't it?
It is. All right, post another little bumper here. I got a story on that I attribute to NASA. And every post I put on, I categorize the best I can. So if you want to just read the posts on NASA, on the right you can select a category on NASA and read just that category. So you can sort through my blog posts if you are so inclined. And that is using the category function on the right. And if you are on the right, you'll notice there are a couple links to Amazon. You can click on them. And if you want to purchase anything through my website. I do make a small commission. Haven't seen a commission check in years, but you know, if you want to bookmark all the links I've got with the Fakeologist attribute, anything you purchase through Amazon, and I purchase a lot of stuff, and I'm sure many people do as well, I will get a small spiff. So I'd really appreciate that. But the NASA story is about.
Can I just? I'm just clicking on the RSS links on the side where everything's categorized, but it just goes to a text page with like an RSS.
Yeah. Okay. I should clarify. There's two links of categories. One is RSS, and RSS means you can bring it into a news reader. And I should demote that section. But if you just above that,
yeah, that's what just stood out to me. Yes, I was like, how can I get to NASA the quickest? It's just one of those organizational things.
Yes, I know it. Just above it is the word categories, the drop down menu, and if you go up above that, if you click on the drop down menu, you'll see all the categories. So it's a drop down menu. You click. It's a down arrow.
Yeah.
And
either you're with us. Either you love freedom or you're with the enemy.
And I posted that part under the deer because I was getting very irritated because, in particular, my mother is just beside herself at my opinion on fake events. And I really want to try and make a clear statement to her and other people. And I just read what I wrote. Because I thought it was most lucid at the time. And again, there's so much material to tell people. You only have a few seconds to talk to people about these things before you just completely lose them, including my mother. She just keeps trying with me, but she's just so out of it. It's frustrating, but you just don't want to push it too much because it's just not worth it.
Yeah, I had a family member who just watched the Toronto thing on the TV and, you know, like we were having dinner together and that was the big topic of discussion for the night. And
oh, wow.
I certainly, unfortunately, wasn't in the, like, yeah, it's interesting that just came up and we were talking about it. But, you know, I'm with the position with some older people like that. I'm just leaving it alone at the moment. I can try to steer the conversation in another direction, but, you know, I'm at the point now where I know I've just got to leave it.
Well, this is what I said.
You know, entertain it for their sake because yeah.
Well, I can't do that anymore. I just cannot listen to it anymore. I told her, if you're going to bring up a story and ask my opinion, you better be willing to listen. And this is what I said here. There is no need to investigate this event, even one more aspect of the Toronto Van Sidewalk hoax. Falsus in unum, falsus in omnibus. If there's one thing that's blatantly wrong, then the whole thing is false. That's a simple legal phrase. And then I said, you either trust your own common sense or you trust those that tell you what you are seeing. The sides have never been more clear. You either believe liars or you believe logic. You must pick a side. The middle ground is mental confusion and being dishonest with yourself. Resolve the conflict and come back down on the side of logic. You will live longer and breathe more freely. And you really must decide. I just can't emphasize that enough. You must either trust your common sense. And it's obvious by looking at this van that is not involved in anything like they told us. Or you must believe the liars. That's it. There's no middle ground. And as George
either
Bush said,
with us, either you love freedom or you're with the enemy.
Yeah, see? He made it clear as well. It's a dialectic. You have to pick a side. You must pick a side in this situation. And that's what I boil it down to.
I think there's something to be said for if you're going to, like if someone's going to bring it up with you, and I agree, you have the right to challenge what's being said and to ask for someone to listen to your opinion if they're going to bring it up, like if they bring it up with you. And that's where the spiritual murdering comes in, and it's weird that, like I said, I've had this happen to me with the Toronto thing just this week, that I've had to have someone bring it up with me, and then I've just made the decision to sit quiet. But I mean, maybe it's a way to get into it is actually start to you know, challenge them on why they bring things up. You know, maybe chip away at the sort of foundation before you start talking about the specifics of the actual event, but maybe sort of ask, you know, why are you bringing it up sort of thing, you know?
Well, they bring it up because the media brings it up, and it's right in their face. Mm. I understand that. We don't get to decide the talking points of the day. They are brought before us. And they really force us to forego any natural instincts or natural things we like to talk about, and they make the daily agenda. Every single day it's put before us. And let me get back to the NASA post because I sort of skipped over it.
Yes, I was keen to see what I would have brought it back up. I wanted to see what you
said. Well, the story is, and it's just so ridiculous, it says here that, and see if you can guess what planet they're talking about. It says here in the story that researchers confirm. Yeah, again, another completely general, stupid. Yeah. What researchers can we call them? The seventh planet from the sun has an upper atmosphere full of one of the smelliest chemicals known to humans, hydrogen sulfide, according to studies published by Nature Astronomy. The odorous gas is what gives rotten eggs and human flatulence their distinctive and unpleasant smell. According to the EPA, people can smell the gas when it makes up as little as 3 out of every billion molecules in the air. Oh, yeah, how do they measure that? So imagine what being surrounded by clouds by this stuff would smell like. Now, can you imagine what the planet is?
Well, you already gave it away, Ab, when you said the seventh one.
Well, if you know that, I didn't even know the seventh one.
Well, I've got the thing, you know, my very earthly mother just sat upon North Pole. We used to have to do that over and over and over in primary school when we were little kids.
So okay.
Remember all the letters, and we'd know the order, of course, because like Dave J says, it's all numbers. But I mean, you're talking about Uranus, and I do remember that story coming out that they were going to look into Uranus. They were going to actually do some more research into Uranus. And what would be the chances that it comes back smelling like farts? I mean, are they mocking us or what?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I said. They are mocking us. And I don't even believe there is a planet. Again, we can get right into the whole solar system and the models. But, yeah, it's just a light in the sky. And then even the name of it had to have been mockery in and of itself as well.
You think that name was specifically chosen for what it sounded like?
I think so. I have almost no doubt.
And what would you say about the names of other planets?
Well, Pluto, I think, was named after the Disney dog. And Neptune, nothing really too conspicuous there. Neptune, king of the sea, Greek god. And, but Uranus, I think, was one of the funny ones.
So, sorry, you're saying the planet's named after the Disney dog, not the other way around?
I think so, yeah. And there was even a little graphic of the planet shown, you know, a couple of years ago, and there was you could trace the dog on there. So it's bad.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting piece of evidence. That one, like they
that's part of the mockery.
What the chances are? Yeah, what the chances are of that happening? Yeah,
absolutely. Oops.
You're about to run the long version.
Yeah, I'm a little off my game today.
Have you started using the word stab like I suggested? That's your Australian version of that little.
Yeah, well, you're the only one I talked to about it, so yeah, I don't think it would mean anything to anybody else. But now I've been
just
digging.
Just a local thing.
Again, as I've told people, I'm digging through, I'm listening to all the podcasts of This American Life, which is a very highly rated and highly produced podcast, and I'm now in 2006, so there's a lot of Iran-Iraq stuff. The Iran War, or the Iraq War, rather. Mm-hmm. Desert Storm and Desert Shield and all those fine wars, or I guess this was the Iran-Iraq, or whatever they called it. The Iraq War. I don't even remember the title. But it's quite interesting just filtering through with fakeologist lenses. So if you want to just listen to This American Life, in the 2000s at least of that audio, and it was done weekly, there's a lot of 9/11 stuff in there. There's a lot of so-called 9/11 witnesses and victims. They were doing a lot of audio back in the day. Now, we're just used to YouTube clips, but if you really want to dig into listening to some of the stories they created that really probably got no publicity, I don't remember them at the time, so I wasn't listening. Go dig into these archives because they're really good. And I bumped into an archive with a 7-7, which was, I suppose, the British 9-11 with the big tube and bus bombing, and a pretty interesting audio. And I called it the 7-7 Crisis Actress. I put a post to that. And I guess my British listeners can probably be more interested in that, just because, again, it's too far away for most others and it's not that interesting, but I really recommend that.
Do you think going back and looking through your fakeologist lenses that it's more like, how much more obvious is it that it doesn't ring true and just seems fictionalized, or there's no grounds for what they're saying, things like that?
Well, if I didn't have fakeologist lenses, I'd be very, it's very, very convincing stuff. It's very good propaganda. And I would be cool.
So
it's very genuine. It's, you know, and honestly,
do you put that down to their production values, the type of organization that they are?
Yes, yeah. And the scripting is very well done. The questions are very well done. But this actual, now that I remember, and sometimes I don't explain it properly, even in my blog post. But this clip. This radio 20, I guess it's 20 or actually it's 33 minutes, coincidentally, but it says here 21. This broadcast was talking about how this crisis actor actually went on the internet and was engaging with the quote unquote conspiracy theorists and arguing with them. And she's presenting another controlled opposition, supposedly an ex-MI5 guy, who's since turned into a woman or a transvestite at the least, and discussing how he harassed her. And it's just a whole soap opera of conspiracy theory and crisis actor put together. It's very hard to figure out, even as a fakeologist. It's very easy to be fooled. And again, this was done for the British 7-7 event. So you probably, if you're a researcher in North America or in Australia, you probably wouldn't have heard about it. But it's just very well done.
I heard about that particular episode.
Yes, I think you should listen to it. It's really well worth it. Let me just play a bit if
Aguan,
I can.
What part of bomb don't you understand? John Ronson has this story about somebody who becomes a spokesperson entirely by accident.
A quick warning to people who are listening to our show on the internet.
I just want to mention, it always makes me laugh because you're a radio guy. The host of this show is called, or as British say, called, or as I say, is named Ira Glass. This guy slurs so badly.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing how he slurs the speech. I often can't miss words, and I play this. This is one of the few audios that I play at normal speed, because I don't want to miss anything. I don't speed it up. And he's
going to be one of the most renowned guys on radio that actually has a terrible voice and doesn't enunciate well at all.
Yes, he has a Woody Allen delivery, a Woody Allen slur, and a Manhattan type accent, and it's just not a good radio voice at all. And he just makes so many radio professional mistakes. But he's been doing this since the beginning, so he's been doing it for over 20-25 years. But and he talks like Woody Allen. He has so many colloquialisms, so many he makes so many mistakes or uses so many slangs, like, you know, and all the things you shouldn't say as a professional. But it's the topics that are very interesting. And I have noticed, because I'm going back 20 years, a couple names that keep popping up as producers. And the stories that are produced by one or two of the females, in particular Sarah Koenig, and I know there's Nancy somebody, but Sarah Koenig's the one that did the most popular podcast ever.
Nancy Updike, I believe.
Yeah, I think that's it. They've been there a long time. I think Sarah Koenig moved on, but she did Serial, and she did... another one, but Serial was the most popular of all time, and that one had me totally fooled. I thought that was a real story, and I still think they portray it as a real story, but I think it's a totally fabricated story.
Serial was huge, the first one.
Yeah, let me just play
it. Podcaster by streaming. For the internet version of this show, we have left in, this is an experiment for us, we have left in one curse word that occurs at a crucial moment in the story versus the broadcast version where we bleeped it out. Here's John.
One morning 2 years ago, Rachel North, who works in advertising, got on the Piccadilly line.
And I have to say, this British voice, he drives me nuts. I just can't stand listening to this. It just makes my skin creep. I don't know about you, but there's always the odd voice, really hard to listen to. And maybe mine's like that.
don't tie yourself with that brush.
But do you ever get creeped out by certain accents that are just really hard to listen to?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's radio can be, or, you know, podcasts, whatever, can be so intimate, and then yeah, something can very easily invade that space when it has the wrong tonality or timbre to it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just sort of a creepy voice. But anyway, apparently this host, this presenter, John Ronson, is just one of those guys that is being used to, well, he's basically fighting on the wrong side. He's just one of the media enemies, I like to call them. But anyway, I want to recommend that. As I said before, I've probably listened to about 10 or 20 of these podcasts before one really sticks out that I really enjoy and really try and relate to Fakeology, and I do point to it. I'm going to post another one, and I probably shouldn't even bother bringing it up, but there was one where they were talking about people that counted the dead in Iraq, civilian casualties, and they get into conspiracy in the sense that the numbers are so high, and nobody on the ground or none of the locals ever confirmed, ever... If you just did another survey, none of them would ever confirm the deaths. And they got into the talk about how they were probably making up most of the civilian casualties. And this goes on with the war is a hoax idea. And they just said, well, if we were lying, we wouldn't make the numbers so big as to be obvious. And I thought, no, that's the inverted way of looking at it. It's always the opposite. Yeah, if you inflate the numbers so high, no one will believe that you're lying because they'll figure, well, you're going to be exposed to the lie. But I think that's exactly what they did. The numbers are so high. I think I heard numbers like over 1 million civilian casualties in Iraq. The numbers
are kind of a double bluff, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's inversion. Yeah. It's the big lie. It's as simple as that. It's the big lie. Mm. But
As for This American Life, you were saying that there were sort of some associate producers that seemed to crop up related to certain topics.
Well, no, there's certain producers that are very, very good. And they're the ones that are I think make the most effective podcasts. And I think they're used, maybe they're given some of the more important podcasts where they really want to send a message. And they do the best job because they tell a story so well. And I know even from my podcast, it doesn't flow. It's not good storytelling, but these podcasts are stories and they're so well told. They're so well crafted and you can tell they just spend many, many hours clipping and editing them up. They just flow perfectly. And
they have the time to do that. You don't. So, I mean, there's going to be a difference. But the type of content you're doing is different anyway. You're not telling a 1 hour linear story necessarily.
That's true. You're right. But the propaganda is very effective, is what I'm saying. And it sucks me in all the time.
Mm. Well, that's what I mean. As John LeBond says, people love a story. So, the magic of the story is used against you to suck you into a little fairy tale for an hour.
Absolutely. 55! And I made another post previous to the one I just mentioned. And again, I was trying to find a clear message to give to people that aren't familiar with Fakeology. And this Toronto van hoax is just so bad. It's so obvious to a Fakeologist. I wanted to boil it down to something simple. And I said, Canadians, you have a choice. You either believe there are young radical Muslims out there willing to kill random strangers, or that the people that rule over you are lying in a much bigger way than you can ever have imagined or are willing to accept. There are no other choices in this matter. You must decide. And then I said, I do not wonder why option number two is so difficult for people to choose. It's because the consequences are far more disturbing than accepting the less complicated option number one. So it's much more difficult to accept the idea that the people that are running the show are lying in a huge way. It's much easier to accept that there's bands of young, crazy Muslims or crazy white guys that are autistic with mental disorders that are randomly planning out attacks on strangers, which I guess is most people's greatest fear, stranger violence. And that is the only choice that is presented in these cases. It really all boils down to that.
But of course it's going to be much easier to believe that. Because you don't have to, you can blame that. You can blame all these people making the world bad. You don't have to actually look at yourself and go, you know, like, how do I actually contribute to the world? Is what I'm doing day to day really the best thing? You know, am I going to look back and feel good about what I've been doing with my time? It's much easier to just stay in the system and just sort of blame all these boogeymen out there you see on the TV.
Well, yeah, our message, the Fakeologist's message to me is a far more positive one in the sense that no one dies in our world the way it's presented to us. Yeah, people do die of illness and car crashes. I see those sorts of things regularly where I work. Just car crashes. I see them. They're this city's so congested. I almost think that only professionals should be allowed to drive. It's come to that. There's so many amateurs out there doing really stupid things. Because I do see that. That's easy to believe, though, for me. Because I see it. I'm working with it day to day. Just like if you worked with, say, Muslims, you would realize they're peaceful people. They're just like you and me. They just believe a slightly different version of the Abrahamic religion. That's it. So if you work in the fields, you know more of the truth than what's portrayed in the media. All right, another bumper. 55! All right, if you have nothing else to bring up or you want to read another post, if you can find one, or another blog that you're reading this week or audios that you're listening to, you can certainly bring them up.
What are we at for time at the moment?
Well, we're kind of all over the place. I've got this going now. If I take a quick peek here at one of my millions of record, we're at about 47 minutes, so we can wrap it up in a minute.
Okay, we're not doing too bad, are we?
No, not too bad. It moves pretty quick. I know we've been pretty Toronto-centric, and it's not interesting probably to everybody, but it's what I'm looking at, and it's what I've been talking about and what I've been posting about. And one thing I have been trying to do a little more carefully this time is any of the videos, all the Toronto hoax revelatory videos are on a website called 153net. Oh man, I forget now. It's a really bizarrely labeled website. It's 153net. It's where a Sidethorn journalist, he says he set the website up for videos. Oh yeah, 153news.net. And I've lifted a bunch of the videos and put them on FakeTube just to make it easier to find, because his site doesn't work quite as well as YouTube for sorting and suggesting. But I put most of them. And again, there's not a lot of videos because there's not a lot of interest in this because it's not American. But I put quite a few in one post. I put them all in one post, actually. So I got 3, 6, 7, 8. I got about 8 or 9. So if you want to look at all the YouTube videos or the fake tube videos, I should say, they're all in one place. And for the most part, these guys, I've never heard of these commentators before, but I put them there because they hit a couple points that are interesting.
What type of stuff are they covering?
Well, they're talking about the location of it. They're talking about the condition of the van. They're talking about the police standoff. And by the way, it's hilarious to me that they're praising this police officer as being a good police officer because he didn't kill the suspect. Now, I'm not.
There's a lot of cop worship.
Well, my point is this: I don't think you're going to ever find a real cop that would actually go on the record and say that cop did a good job. Because if this was a real standoff, which there's no way it was, and it is odd the way the background people are just walking along in.
Oh my God, I noticed that too. Oh, that's the video I was watching where they're having this standoff, yelling backwards and forth at each other. And there were three people just walking past the background.
Then you have to.
In the world.
Well, no, you have to ask yourself, were you looking at a composite? Was that a composite video? Was it green screen where the standoff was done in the studio and you're just looking at a composite? I'm not quite sure how they did it. I never know quite how they do these tricks. And I don't think we get to. And even the siren, the police siren, it seems like a dub. It doesn't seem like it's echoing the way it should in an outdoor environment. So definitely seems more like a dub. There are a lot of things that are totally ridiculous about the video. But the main thing is, if just from a police point of view, if this was a real case, which it is not, there'd be more cops on the scene. And if you point even your erection at a cop, he will shoot to kill you. There is no doubt in my mind because it's kill or be killed. It's very, very simple. And if he does not shoot to kill, I guarantee he'd lose his job because he puts other officers at risk. He just does. If you can't do as you are trained to do, he would be fired. He would be pilloried. He would be court-martialed. He would be removed from the police force. All of the above. So the idea that
if someone was pulling a gun on him like that,
right?
There's no question that there's a first priority. Years of training teaches you to defend yourself, not to suddenly start taking sympathy on this dude who's obviously
exactly.
A little mental and not quite feeling right. So we'll play it up on TV that I took sympathy and I should be praised for a quick decision.
Yeah, he basically, if someone points a weapon, you don't have time to ask is it a real weapon or not. It's your life. If your idea of being a police officer is to negotiate with someone pointing something at you, your career will be over very quickly, whether by force or just by being removed from the force. It is a crazy notion. And the idea that they're praising the guy from a police point of view is insane. So I just thought that was the ultimate ridiculous part of this whole thing. And I can't believe that. I don't know which police officer in Toronto went on the record saying he did a good job, if any. But it's that whole notion is just another one of the completely obvious parts that is ridiculous about this.
I wonder what any police officer anywhere in the world sitting watching that on the news thinks when they see that. Like, do they think about their job and go, that doesn't quite seem right? Like, it's a wonder more people aren't awake up to that.
Well, again, I think people in certain jobs, they are tied to the company line. If they step out of line, the pressure, it would just be unbearable. There are so many people that just probably do know the truth, but they just don't dare speak it. I wish I had more.
Might know it subconsciously, but it's just. Take some sort of mental strength that maybe more psychologists have, some sort of independence and willing to, have your own thoughts and not feel the social pressure, having a backbone, essentially.
Well, even the police force, you're either with them or you're against them. Us against them mentality, and I don't blame them for it. I'm not going to say I'd behave any differently. Now, if you ever hear any talk from ex-police, people that quit the force, and there aren't that many people that once they're in, get out and stay out. I would say there aren't that many ex-police officers, but the ones that speak out, they have a lot to say. And they have a lot of inside information that's very interesting trying to reveal the culture. And there's a lot of
police officers here that get out and actually stay out are the ones who sort of go out on compo and they have some excuse for claiming disability or something for the rest of their career. And the government always lets them do that, so.
And they don't speak, they're never going to speak out against the police force. And it's not so much the various people in the force, it's just the culture. It is there, it is, yeah, it's an, it, and it has to be an us against them mentality for them to survive. Because they have to cover each other. Because it's a very tricky, dangerous job, really. I feel bad for police officers in that sense. But
it's not something I would want to sign up for.
But if you did, you couldn't really get out of it because you really have to be super loyal because these people are, the other police officers will save your life. They really will. And so, you know, you just can't, you can hardly speak out against somebody who can ultimately save you and help you in the most random situation. So that's probably why we don't hear very much from these guys. Even if they were fakeologists, they just could not broadcast it. I don't think. All right, we've gone about 55 minutes. Do you have anything else you want to chat about?
No, it's a shame we won't be able to actually end on 9:11 p.m. when you are.
No, that's all right.
We can't pay tribute to that in some numerical way. We might have to sacrifice a child or do something else.
Well, you know, that's just a funny
thing. Is that how you get the ratings, is it?
Yeah, there's no ratings here. That's just a fun thing that he did. But, all right. Well, we'll end it at that. I appreciate you filling in. I appreciate that a lot. And,
no, thank you. Thank you for steering the conversation and giving me something to comment on.
Well, thanks for commenting on it.
Yeah, it gives you an opportunity to fill people in on the site and what's going on. So,
well, that is the point.
I think it's a good idea to commit to doing it either way. I think it's good to you feel good after it's done to know that you did it each week.
Well, it's for those that don't come to the site really, and I, you know, there's so much on the site I haven't touched on. I want to give a shout out to Zyle Falex. He's one of the best researchers I've got on Fakeologist, and he even looks into the Toronto stuff, which. It generally should be no interest to someone who's based over in Britain, but he's done such a great job, and he even follows some of the stories, some of the really weak stories, and he still follows the story, the Humboldt hockey hoax, where he'll actually follow one of the supposed victims, one of the survivors rather, and he'll show.
You were talking about how deep his research was with all following all the Instagram accounts and things like that.
Yeah, and he'll find the inconsistencies, and I said to him today, I said, you're probably the only one that has enough tenacity to follow the story and show the inconsistencies. And I'm probably the only one in the world reading it with interest. Like, just think how, of all the people in the world that could look into this, there's probably only two of us that are actually paying attention. And they rely on that laziness of the world to not follow up and read into the conflicts. And therefore, they do not waste too much energy on the details because nobody is probably even listening. And that was just something that struck me. I said, Zyle Falex, you're doing so much good work, but nobody cares. I care.
You're doing all the reading. You guys are two peas in a pod.
Yeah. He's writing it. I'm loving it because even I haven't looked into it. Even I'm not following the guy's inconsistent story. Where one day he's feeling great, next day, you know, he just finds all the inconsistencies in so many of these so-called witnesses and survivors. It's just fantastic. But who's reading it? I don't know. I don't think too many people care. And you got to dig deep on the Fakeologist site to find it. You know, you got to go deep into the comments of a post. And I don't know how many people are even doing that. So just good on him. I appreciate him doing it, but, sometimes you think, well, who are we doing it for, really? You know, it's crazy. It's crazy, man. All right, well, thanks so much.
It's a tool for organizing our thoughts, at least, at the end of the day. You're building a website. You've got a system there. It files it all the way. It'll always be there, provided you've got a good backup.
Yeah, providing someone doesn't. Yeah, well, listen, the way things are going where – I think there'll be a time where there'll be internet regulation, and even my site will be on the dark web, which the dark web to me is just, it won't be searchable. You will not find it unless you have the exact address. I think that day is coming. I don't see any reason for it not to come, honestly.
So I think you and I would do well having a little tech show, you know, sometime soon, where we can just speculate on technology and things, because I know we both like our technology.
Yeah, I'd like that.
I'm sure if we made that a specific topic of interest to have a discussion on, we'd probably be able to talk for hours about all kinds of things.
Yeah, no, I like it. Yeah, I love technology. I love audio. You seem to be the same way. And you're a fakeologist now, so you have that bent on the media. So, yeah, I think we could do that, sure. You know, I've got a fairly bootstrap, cobbled up, technological setup right here. It's not anyone's platform. I just use shareware or freeware and just get this. You know, that's why I'm sort of scrambling all the time, getting all the buttons pressed because they're not on the same screen. So it's just, people need to learn how to use their PC and all the little Windows programs or Mac programs and get this thing going. You know, the internet's more than YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah, but so many people now just live inside that. And I don't even think I truly appreciated how bad it's got. Like, you know, cause I still visit websites and that, but for the most part, I think you're right when you say most people don't really think about the internet as the global network. They're just focused on the little bit of information it gives them on Facebook.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to roll it out. Thanks so much.
Very nice to chat with you.